Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of the podcast This Thing On. I'm Alex Petrovich, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Foster.
Hello.
Producer Al.
Hello.
And our fantastic guest this month, Zoe Lyons.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little road weary. I've been travelling a lot this week. And it's not really the travel that's been getting... Well, it is the travel that's been getting to me, but it's the... It's the Jean-Paul Sartre effect of hell is other people. That's what's really got to me this week. It really has. I've nearly lost it a couple of times. I deliberately banged a man with my bag this week. Yeah. It felt so good.
What did he do?
He pushed in front of me on a train and I had quite a heavy bag with me and I just let it swing pendulum-like and took out the back of his knees. Perfect. And then I did the most passive-aggressive thing I think I've ever done because I'm not really a passive-aggressive person. He looked at me and I just went, oh, I am so sorry.
I find myself, you know, when people are sitting on a train and they've got a bag in the seat next to them, I find myself actively targeting to sit next to those people to make them move their bags.
To pick them out.
Do you mind if I sit next to you? I want to be that person that's...
Can I see your bag's ticket, please? Yeah.
Where's his rail card?
Travelling in the UK will just send you crazy in the end. It really will. I've been doing a couple of flights as well and I had a woman who was trying to get out of her seat before me and I was in the aisle seat and I just wasn't having any of it. I just puffed myself up like a pufferfish and deliberately blocked away and she was still trying to get out. And I'm not proud of this, Alex, but I took my bag out of the overhead locker and let it slide down the front of her face.
Wow, you really are quite angry at the moment.
It's been too much this week. It's been too much.
I saw Thursday, I saw a man in a pub. You know when people try the ales? And he tried about 4 hours and he got to the point where I was like, I want to kill you now. Yeah. He was just taking ages and sort of savouring them. And you could obviously... tell that this was the most influence he'd ever had in his life.
Moment of power with his sample cups.
And the barmaid obviously hated him and he was just sort of taking ages and then going, no.
not hoppy enough.
Yeah. And also, yeah, that was the other thing that annoyed me because I was with my mate and my friend started going like, look, he's just trying ales. Just leave him alone. And I was literally just like, I want to kill him.
When I'm in a pub situation, they ask me, do you want to try it? If I do try it, I'm so English that it's even if I don't like it, I say yes.
Obliged to buy.
Delicious.
Yeah.
I'll have 12 of them.
I'll remember that when I'm selling my car. I'm just sitting in it. There you go.
It's yours, mate. 17,000 pounds.
You've touched it. It's yours now.
I feel obliged now.
So what places have you been to then?
This week I've been to Belfast to do a university gig over there. And that was fine, except when we landed in Belfast. I flew out there on Wednesday. Do you remember it was quite windy? Mm. It was a windy day this week, and it was a really rough landing into Belfast.
Oh my God.
It was one of those jerky, and I was right at the back. With a woman flicking hair in my face, I kicked her as well.
This is just a catalogue of assaults, isn't it?
Are you on the run?
I was in the middle seat, right? Which is the worst seat, isn't it, on a plane situation, seat. Because neither armrest is necessarily yours, but you would assume you have one.
Yeah.
So there has to be some sort of silent negotiation between the other two people on either side of you as to which one they're going to take. Like, if you're in the aisle, you have the outside, in the window, you have at least... But I had nothing, and I was getting more and more angry, and I had to assume the log flume position of sort of, you know, like that.
That's horrible.
I know. And then we flew, and I was getting angrier and angrier with the woman beside me who'd taken both the armrests and was flicking her hair into my face. And as we flew into Belfast, and it was a really bumpy land, it was like sort of a bit sideways on, a bit downwards. You know that you can feel people trying not to lose it. There's just a little bristling in the air of somebody going, if somebody screams, we'll all scream. And I so nearly screamed in her face just to get the armrest for the last bit of the journey.
Have you been on one of those flights where it is that sort of landing where people have applauded when the pilot lands.
Yes.
What's your view on that?
Somebody tried to applaud when this landed. It was like one lone clap. Yeah. Oh, that reminds me of so many of my gigs. It was really rough for 20 minutes and then one person clapped.
Screaming. And
I had an aborted landing not so long ago. Yeah, we got very close. I was going to Dublin and we got very, very close and then they just screamed back up into the air again.
One said, do you know what's bad about that? Is they knew they were going to fuck up. And then you're like, I don't trust this guy now.
No. Well, they come on and they go, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. There was a bit of a gusty wind as we approached. We're going to try that again. And you're like,
we nearly killed us all.
Sorry, that wasn't Gatwick.
Yeah. What exactly is going to be better about this landing than the last landing? Yeah. Why are we trying this again?
Yeah.
Stop letting the rookie do it.
I once got on a plane. I don't know how this happened. When I booked the flight, I was in the middle seat and I'd booked a seat in between a really old married couple.
Hmm.
And I was like, oh, do you two want to sit together? And she didn't want to give up the aisle seat and he didn't want to give up the window seat.
Oh.
But they were all part of like a massive family and they had like a baby that kept on getting passed round as well.
Yeah.
And I was just trapped. Like, I thought they were going to say, okay, we'll sit next to each other. But they were so adamant. They preferred their choice of seat to each other's company. And I was caught in the middle of it.
I mean, being trapped in your own family is bad enough. Being trapped in somebody else's horrific family situation. That's awful.
It was a two-hour flight. It was...
Yeah.
It could have been worse, but...
Oh, God. I was once trapped for 11 hours. No, it would have been more. It would have been about 12 hours flying back from Australia. I think we stopped in Bangkok. Trapped by a man who had BO so bad I could taste it. And I'm for 12 hours. And the thing is, I went through, the flight was completely full, so there's nowhere else for me to move. And I'm not kidding when I say I could taste it. I mean, it was eye-wateringly bad. And I went through all of the emotions that you'd go through sort of after a bereavement. I went through denial, sort of acceptance, and then grief for my own journey, and then anger. I went through everything. It was awful.
What's bad, like when you're in that situation, you're kind of looking at the person going, I know you must have done good things in your life.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I hate you so much.
How can you not know? My hair is falling out.
Yeah.
That's not turbulence, that's you.
I look like a Chernobyl victim just sat beside you in the fallout of your own body odour. How can this not been raised before in public?
But planes are bad, though, because it's basically like just being shut in a place for, like, you never spend as long anywhere.
In a tube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to move the other day. I was on a flight coming back about a month ago, and I was sat next to this couple that were really getting off of each other, all right? So that's a horrible thing to be next to for 4 hours. So I said, I made a different excuse and I said, I'm going to move because it was quite an empty flight. Moved about two rows down and I moved into a row where there was a screaming kid right in front of me.
Yeah.
So now I'm in a position where I don't want to ask to move again. It takes up enough courage as an Englishman to ask to move seats on a plane in the first place.
How long was the flight?
This is 4 hours.
Oh,
but which one's going to be better? You know, the couple getting off of each other or the screaming kid?
Oh, I would go for couple easily. Yeah. Not in a weird way. I would go for the
kid. I think I'd go for the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not know. Yeah.
I've been a babysitter on a flight in that family scenario, so I'd go kid. I've been there, got experience. I'm a babysitter.
Yeah.
The worst one I ever
you've
had.
You've looked on a. You've
when I was stuck in the middle of that family.
Oh, right, okay.
I was part of the family. The worst one I've ever had. It was only an hour and a half flight, but I would say 5 minutes after takeoff, the guy next to me pulled out a harmonica.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
How did that not get taken off in your security?
That was...
harmonica! That's a deadly weapon.
I think it was plastic, so...
Yeah.
His tunes were deadly.
Did he start playing it?
Yeah, majority of the flight. And no one said anything.
Oh, good God, no.
It was because it was leaving from England, so the majority of the flight was English, so no one said anything. He was right next to me.
See, this is what I don't understand. This is a new thing. It's sort of like a, salt noise that people now do. Yeah. People playing music on their phones.
Yeah.
Or coming on the bus the other day, coming into town on the bus the other day, somebody just having a FaceTime conversation with somebody on their phone on the bus. And I just thought, who the hell do you think you are? You're on a bus, mate.
Yeah.
You're having a FaceTime conversation. You're not some sort of Rockefeller conference call. What is this? Why do you need to do that?
And then in the background, you can hear, we've just reached Lansdowne Place.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the background, it was me giving the person that... I was like...
Get off the
making
phone.
Making signs behind the guy's head.
FaceTime's a weird one as well, because it's like now... Why? I mean, I don't do it because I have no need, but I don't know why people do. Do you know, the most tedious trip, I had to go to London for a gig and I was on the train and the person opposite me watched, it was, you can tell exactly how long ago it was by this next sentence. They were watching the, what is it? Is it A&S Ice Bucket Challenge thing?
Oh, yes.
Okay, yeah. But
just that. Yeah. And I could hear it on a muffled thing, so all I could hear was like, "This is my ice bucket challenge." And that was it.
Yeah.
The whole thing. And then they ate a sausage roll really loudly. Oh, that made me want to kill them.
Oh.
It was like this. They bit into it and then they went, mmm.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was fucking disgusting. But like the harmonica guy, did he not even ask?
No, just got it. What would you guys have done? Would you have spoken up?
I'd have said, am I in prison?
I think now, I don't think I would have done years ago, but I'm obviously hitting a period in my life when my temper is very, very short, and I think I'd have probably shoved it up where the particular wind force available to it wouldn't be sufficient to blow the harmonica anymore. Because on a plane, another plane incident with me, somebody put their, I was on the aisle seat, and they put their table down and then went to go to sleep on their table, but pushed all my stuff off my table.
Oh,
and
what?
10 years ago, I'd have left it and just felt affronted. And this time, I just punched her in the arm and went, no. No. Yes, I scared her and myself. And she was like, oh, sorry. I was like, that is not happening, love.
Yeah. Was that quite early doors as well?
It was fairly early doors. It was but I was like...
Well, that sets a precedent, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And what's great is if you're in that position, you will then not care for the rest of the time that person is like, oh my God, what am I allowed to do?
Yeah, you don't fall asleep on my table on an EasyJet flight where every millimetre of space is a premium.
Yeah, well, that's totally fair enough.
But did anybody else complain about the harmonica?
There was tutting. But after
we're just rubbish, aren't we?
Yeah,
we are
so
such
bad.
A rubbish nation.
If only you'd been on the flight, and you could have said something.
But we are so
rubbish.
But
not even. I think because this was a few years back, maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. I think now, I would say something. It's one of those scenarios where, like, you know, when you've experienced something and you've now had the chance to reflect on it.
Yeah.
You can then approach it differently next time. So I'm waiting for someone to pull out a harmonica.
Are you sure
you don't have a harmonica to play? Because I've got some pretty good things to say to you.
So for me, it would entirely depend on what music they were playing on the harmonica. If it was like...
How much different?
I could put up with some old blues for about 15 minutes, but if they started like, I don't know, Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Woke up in the morning.
Yeah.
Speedy Borden,
because my friend can actually play the harmonica really well, and that's really interesting to listen to. But like, yeah, I don't know. This guy doesn't sound like that's what. Actually, what was it? Because he played. What was he playing?
It was. I'm not up to date on my harmonica.
My harmonica track. Yeah, well, that's it. That's basically every song.
It sounds good for a bit, and then it's the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a harmonica.
Hi Joe, it's Tim Campbell here. I'm just giving you a call. I mean, this will probably sound silly, but I thought I should double check. You're not actually thinking about releasing the podcast, you know, in air quotes that we recorded the other day, because you know, obviously it was just ridiculous, wasn't it? I don't think anyone would want to hear it. Obviously, the Football Ramble My podcast is really big, so a little bit embarrassing for me for something so sort of ramshackle and unprofessional to be out there. So. Yeah, I mean, we have sued people before, so we'll do it again if we have to. So yeah, just don't put it out there. Anyway, I hope you're well, mate, and yeah, I'll speak to you soon. Bye.
I just hate having entertainment forced upon me.
Exactly. Yeah.
I hate it. Really do. For somebody who works in inverted commas, tiny inverted show business, I hate having entertainment thrust upon me.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I hate thrusting entertainment onto people.
Yeah.
Those gigs where there's just no defining sort of room where it's and then you just walk in and there's just a microphone stand in the corner of the pub and you're like, oh fuck this.
Yeah.
Like, and it is so. But what annoys me is it's so easy not to do that, like to just get a set. This is just me ranting about gigs that I've recently done now. Two stag dudes in my gig last night.
Really?
Two, yeah. So they started having arguments between each other, and I was just sort of like, fuck, I literally said...
Rival stag dudes.
Rival stag dudes, yeah, yeah. So one stag dude wasn't bad enough. And I literally had to say... I don't mind if I don't do this. I said, I will walk out of here, like, because I had to set a precedent because they were all talking at the back. So I said, like, look, I don't care. I will leave.
Yeah.
And it won't bother me. So it's up to you. And then after that, like, the guys who were talking at the back were sort of like, well, actually, we'll go up to the bar. Because the gig had gone on all night and no one had said anything. So I think, but.
Where were you? What part of the country?
This was in Brighton.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah. I won't be snidey. Because actually the room is good. But you don't... That's like a thing that's never happened to me before. Two. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it's awful though, isn't it?
Yeah. There's those like sort of jonglers-y things that have like sort of five... What's the most...
Oh, they just... Well, there's no limit. They'll just...
Yeah.
At some of those gigs, they'll just fill it up to the max with... I once did a gig in for Jonglers in Nottingham years and years ago, and there were 40 Robin Hoods running up and down the before it even started. And I was like, this isn't going to work. This is not going to work. They are very, very merry men.
Yeah.
Me standing up going, hello, you've got to be quiet now, please. I've got some words I've put together in a sequence.
The guy last night gave out, and this is what I could not believe, here before the start of the night, and I don't mind saying this, but before the start of the night, he gave out glow sticks and horns.
No.
So it's like now they don't even have to heckle. They have like a thing that they've been given, and they were throwing glow sticks to the front of the thing. It was fucking carnage.
Aww.
But the only reason I'm talking about it now is because that's literally what I said on the night.
Yeah.
I said all this while I was there, so now I don't feel bad about saying it.
Horns? But, horns?
Yeah, yeah. Burp, 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 burp. Oh. That was it. Don't even have to think of something smart. You can just blow a horn.
We got booked for a gig in Bournemouth once, and the thing is, it wasn't explained to us. They literally said, "Oh, do you want to come do our gig in Bournemouth?" Took a carload of us down. Angela Barnes did this gig with us, and we only found out when we got there. There was just a Hoover at the side of the stage. And we're like, why is there a Hoover at the side of the stage? They said, "Oh yeah, if the crowd doesn't like you, they can call for the Hoover." And the MC comes on and hoovers around you until you leave the stage.
That's like some weird hipster.
But so because we come all the way from Brighton, so we're like, we didn't know this was the kind of gig. Like this, and then so the MC goes, oh, it's okay. I'll tell the crowd beforehand. There's some acts from Brighton. We'll tell them that you're immune from the Hoover. All these hippie acts that have come down that don't want to be hoovered off. I think it's time for our first feature, which is Into Obscurity. Into Obscurity. Into Obscurity is our regular feature where Joe and myself... ask questions to our guests on their favourite film.
Right.
And your favourite film, we believe, is Young Frankenstein.
Yeah. I won't know any of the answers. I really won't. So, I'm so not like...
Do you know what?
Boys are so much better at this. Like, oh, that was so-and-so and so-and-so. And here's an interesting fact about him. I just watch it and just take it at face value and go, oh, I like their faces.
It's,
I like
all,
what they've
it's
done.
All answers that are in the film, though.
Right,
so
okay.
So you don't actually have to... It's not like a... Who else, what else was he in? Although the main character is Gene Wilder, so I'd be a bit disappointed if you couldn't name
one of them. Willy Wonka.
But okay, fine. Question one. Right. In the very first, this, now I think I've made them too hard.
Yes. I haven't watched it for years.
This is going to be hilarious. Oh, but also, to make you feel better, Alex is asking me questions on Con Air and I didn't even watch it.
Right, so okay.
Fine. Right, so.
You mean you've never watched it?
Oh, I have watched years. It. I have watched it. It's been years. I've watched it loads of times. Anyway, question one. In the very first shot as the camera pans through the window, what time is the clock showing on the wall?
Oh, what?
These are going to be too hard.
Panning through a it's a lecture hall, isn't it? I'm sure it's...
No, this is in the... I'll give you a clue, because it's... But this is in the old house at the very beginning.
Is it midnight?
Yeah, it is midnight.
Yes! Yeah. Wow!
I was slightly worried about this. Okay, well, still in the same scene as the camera then moves through the room.
Oh, God.
These are the most complicated ones, right?
Yeah.
What was written on the coffin? What name was written on the coffin?
No.
You could probably guess it.
Frankenstein?
It is Frankenstein, but it's...
Senior.
It's Baron von Frankenstein.
Baron von Frankenstein.
Okay, question three. Question three.
I should have done my homework.
That's why I said, what's your favourite film?
It's the one I've watched more than any other, but it's been about 5 years.
Okay, cool. It's question three. In the lecture hall scene,
yeah.
What does Dr. Frankenstein, as he's calling himself at that point, accidentally do?
Stabs himself in the thigh.
That's correct.
Yes.
What does he stab himself in the thigh with?
Oh, is it? It's either a pen or a scalpel.
It's a scalpel.
Scalpel, yep.
Yep, you're
yes.
on it. You're actually doing really
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Don't be damning yourself.
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
The next one I'm not even going to read because I think that if I do, you might beat me to death. So I'm going to move on.
How many have you got?
Only two more.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Try me with the hard one.
You sure?
Go for it.
Okay, fine. Question four. When Dr. Frankenstein is saying goodbye to his wife at the train station, there's writing on the train door. What does it say?
Oh, no. I can't remember that, but I do remember the other scene from the train. Pardon me, boy, is this the Chattanooga Choo Choo?
This is something that you will find written on trains, though, and it's something that here, I don't want to give it away.
Western. Imagine. Eastern. Southern.
It is.
First class.
I'm going to move on because I'm conscious of time. It's Mind Your Step, which was pretty. All right, okay. Okay, right. Question five. When the monster first awakens Dr. Frankenstein is teaching him how to walk, what makes him go crazy and try and strangle the doctor?
Oh, what happens? Is it a bolt of lightning?
No.
It's, I can see the scene in my head. No.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Igor lights a cigarette.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have got that. Okay.
And these are basically what I did was I forgot what I was doing and then just watched the film for a bit. So these are all from later
it's
on in the film.
It's funny though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's I kind of lost track of what I was doing and then like halfway through I was like,
it's funny.
Oh, God, I've got to write the fucking question. So this will be the last one. Okay. When they did the transformation, the monster got part of the doctor's brain. But what was insinuated in the last scene did the doctor get from the monster?
His massive bratwurst, his schlongendongen.
That is verbatim what I've got written down here.
Well done. 3 out of 6. 50%.
That is pretty good. And that is as well as I've done in any exam ever in my life. So I'm happy with that.
Being young Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is a win.
Well, it does mean now that also Joe's got to try and beat 50% now.
I've got 6 questions.
Perfect.
For Joe.
Are
you ready for this? Joe's questions this episode are on the classic... It's action. Con Air, starring Nicolas Cage.
It was fucking awesome.
It's a great film.
It's shit, but it's good.
The final scenes are hilarious.
So, right. Question one. Cameron Poe, Nicolas Cage, what is his pet name for his wife?
I thought you were going to say, what is his accent? And then I was going to go, I don't know.
It's Nicolas Cage.
His accent's really bad in that film. So what's his wife's name, did you say?
His pet name for his wife.
Oh, fuck off. That's difficult, isn't it? Hummingbird or something?
Yeah, it's Hummingbird.
Oh my God. I pulled that out of my ass. That's amazing. One out of one. Smashed. Right, let's go.
Cameron becomes friends with Baby O over a mutual love of what?
Oh, this is... Oh. Is it some kind of snack?
Yep.
Is it... I don't know. I'm just going to guess and say, like, is it Twinkies or something?
No, it's Pink Snowballs.
Oh, well, that was not far, was it?
No, but it's not right.
It's not right. You didn't give me questionable points.
I was like, American snack? Plus, what kind of prison plane would they be on?
Mountain Dew and...
McDonald's? go on.
What is the name of the book that Diamond Dog wrote?
Oh, that's fucking difficult, because that's only in the beginning.
Mine were pretty difficult last month, Joe.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Diamond Dog. Because that's only in the beginning when they're introducing everyone, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's something that... It has a dog in it, doesn't it? It's like a... Does it not?
Nope.
Oh, God. So
I'm having a great time.
No, I don't know. What is it?
Reflections in a Diamond Eye. What government agency does the undercover agent aboard the plane work for?
The one that gets killed really early on?
Mm-hmm.
ATF?
Nope. DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency.
Right, you need to get both of those.
Have you even watched this film?
I can feel the victory coming down.
Yeah, it is. Right, so you've got one out of four. You need to get both of these right.
There's two left.
Level. You can't even win.
I should have watched this fucking film. All right, come on then.
What is the name of the isolated airfield where Con Air lands?
You have gone really deep with these, I think, because that's because of what happened last week on Spinal Tap, which you got a higher score than me. Airstrip. Then I don't know why I'm just saying words that it is.
I've never seen him this rattled.
I can't.
It's all right to say you don't know.
I don't know. Because
Lerner Airfield.
Lerner Airfield. Right, okay, cool. I was conscious of time. Let's do the last one.
Very, very last question. Con Air was Simon West's first film, but what music video did he direct before this? I'm not a nice person, am I, Zoe?
That's a good question as well, because there's not a lot of music, is there? not a lot of music knocking around.
Popular 80s song. Don't give up, Joe. You've got this.
Popular 80s song.
Give up.
Is it a song that we've spoken about?
Don't give up.
Never gonna give you up.
Rick Astley, correct. He directed the Con Air was his first film, but before that, he mainly directed adverts, and he directed a music video for Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up.
It was just Rick dancing in a room. That's all it was. It was just Never Gonna Give You Up.
And Hollywood saw that and thought, Nicolas Cage for you.
I love the accent that Nicolas Cage has in that film. I got to give my daughter back from my... It's like half Japanese. It's not what he wants it to be.
All right, well, that was a resounding win for Zoe.
Wow. Wow, well done. Well done. Snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. That's.
I'm gutted.
I'm all delighted. Right. I'm surprised.
You did awesome.
Thank you.
And I did really shit. Speaking of young Frankenstein, Alex has got some news, haven't you?
I do indeed.
There was a chaste look in his eyes when I met him earlier.
A pained expression. I've. Had an operation on my eardrum.
Yeah, it's
drum roll.
How do I look, guys?
It's kind of weird.
it looks painful, Alex.
I think this happened a few weeks back. I think a lot of people, when I've told them I had an operation on my eardrum, think they just kind of went in through.
You didn't get me ready for what
did
it
I
was.
Not? Did I not prepare? No. Do you think I need to prepare people?
Well, I think anybody with any anatomy knowledge whatsoever would know that that's probably highly unlikely that you'd go straight in through the ear. You know, knowing the damage you can do with an ear bud.
When it was first done, because obviously they had to cut open my ear, so it was like sticking off at an angle. Yeah. So when I came around, I was on a lot of morphine, and the first time I saw myself in a mirror, I wasn't with it. I was ready to make a complaint because I thought they'd put my ear back on wrong.
What, the wrong way around?
Because it was like sticking out at such an angle. I was like, how hard can it be just to put it on the way you found it? It was like sticking off at like a right angle.
Oh, like when you've broken your favourite mug and you try and glue the handle back on.
Without anyone noticing. I just think I wouldn't notice.
Oh. Have you thought that it might just be like, because it clearly must be quite swollen.
Yeah. But the thing is, but when you're on that much like morphine and stuff, logic isn't your first port of call. Yeah. You immediately assume the worst and think, I'm gonna
have a.
Are you going
get my lawyer on the blower?
Was it just the swelling making it stick out?
Yeah, that was literally it. First, the swelling was the thing that make it stick. So eventually, it's gone back down, and
because you saw it instantly, didn't you? And I sort of noticed it, but then I was like, oh, cool that you've had.
So this is it back to like. Like, well,
let's have a look.
This isn't it back to normal. But
no,
like,
it's still a bit bigger, isn't it?
But like,
or maybe it's not. I've been really rude about your ear.
Zoe, that's my face. God, it's awful.
But you all look like you've had terrible facial operations, guys.
Why did they do that to your nose too?
How long ago was this?
This was a few weeks back, quite a few weeks back.
Okay, cool.
So it's. I never appreciated before I had this, like, how much your ear connects to everything. I can't even...
Sunglasses, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Nightmare. Eating sandwiches.
Yeah, if it
it's ruined yawns for me. It's absolutely ruined yawns for me at the moment. I can't...
It's ruined what?
Yawns.
Oh, yes. I can imagine that's
can't,
quite...
Can't sneeze, can't... It's my...
What, because your ear hurts?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
It really is connected to everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
So glad my ears are fine and there's never been anything wrong with them.
How do they... Is it just a bit of... What do they replace the bit with? That is like a bit of cling film or something over it? Or what? Like, how do you replace that?
It really is like that. Yeah.
Grease-proof paper or something.
Pogs.
Grease-proof paper for that.
I called my doctor to like get more painkillers and stuff. And like the surgeon sent him a letter of exactly what he did and sent it to the doctor. And I called him up and he goes, yeah, I got the letter. I'm not going to lie. I had no idea what any of those words he used were. I found that quite worrying.
What, like, your doctor said that?
The letter that the surgeon sent to my doctor was like, we did a tesmoplasty and constructed the... Da-da-da. He goes, yeah, I had no idea what any of those were. Basically, you've had your eardrum worked on.
It's a bit worrying when your own GP is Googling it, isn't it?
Basically, how many painkillers do you want and leave me alone?
At least he's not the one who did the operation. But that was the thing.
I went to the GP first.
Yeah.
And he had a look inside and goes, yeah, I can't see anything. But if you want, I can refer you to a specialist. So had I not said I do want to be referred to a
specialist...
What were
your symptoms, Alex? You don't remember asking?
I went a little bit deaf in one ear and a bit of pain. So I just thought it was minor.
Although, you think it might be wax?
I was worried.
Old man wax problem.
But the thing is, like, I'm a bit of a hypochondriac and I'm now also worried that I go to my doctor too often. Because when he said, okay, we'll refer you to this specialist, he turned to me and said... By the end of 2015, Alex, you're going to have seen every specialist in Brighton. Are they allowed? Is he allowed to say that to me?
He's allowed to think it. He should have probably put the the block on the old vocal cords when he.
So what have you been through other than... You don't have to tell us. That's
someone told me... Where's the last time you had to call an ambulance?
Hold on, let me get my medical history.
Your balls. Is it your balls? No, I am.
Is that? But he can't say that, surely.
He probably can.
Yeah, he shouldn't. Yeah, he probably shouldn't.
Well, he also once said to me, "Hopefully, see you soon." No, no, doctor.
Remember, did you have a sense of sort of told you so when you went back and went, "You sound the perfect
yeah.
name."
When I called him up because I spoke to him on the phone.
You called him up at home. Yeah. You got his own number.
Dinner time.
I was right. Yeah. Enjoy your Sunday roast. But I do kind of now have that. But yeah. Is it going to make me doubt him? Because I'm such a hypochondriac. Is it going to make me
just
doubt him every time I go?
Stop going to the doctor until something falls off.
Just leave like it, my ear.
Just leave it.
Just leave it. What, yours?
I don't.
But we've got different approaches to things, Joe.
Yeah, you've got a better approach to everything than me, I think. You've got to let.
Do you think me and Joe are quite different people? I just think.
What, from. Yeah, I mean.
From half an hour.
Well, our ears are different.
Well, one of them is.
This is all going in one ear and out the other. Oh.
How long are you in for?
What, in the surgery?
In the hospital?
I had... it was a 3-hour operation, then I had to stay in overnight.
3 hours?
Yeah.
Quite a long time, isn't it?
And I was awake all night, and then at one point, like, I woke up and it was a bit drafty. And I said, is it all right if we close these curtains? I think there's a draft coming from somewhere. I go, yeah, we can also shut this window. That's just a massive window open the whole night. In the hospital. I was just freezing.
That's like a Channel 4 documentary about...
Victorian hospitals.
Can I get more leeches?
Yeah. I thought hospitals were supposed to be the sort of the temperature where you could really grow sort of high-end skunk. You know, that sort of temperature.
I could have done with that.
Yeah. Hydroponics or whatever you call them. Just growing. Yeah, you don't want a draft, do you? Because there'd be other people in there who'd be... Draft could kill them. Maybe that is the latest government pension plan, isn't it?
That's the last thing they've got to do, isn't it? And we leave the windows open.
Leave the windows open. Maybe put a bit of spillage on the floor. And we're bound to get rid of...
Yeah, you can make it to the toilet on your own.
Oh, mate.
But I'm on the mend now. And hopefully my ear will... No longer repulse the sight of my friends.
Well, no, it'll be fine.
Joe Foster's funny, isn't he?
Well, I don't know him, so I don't know.
This is a new feature we're testing out, so let's...
Guinea pig it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see how much you know... or can guess about me and Joe.
Right.
Me and Joe used to go to school together. We'd grown up together.
Have you?
We're both Brighton
have
local.
You?
Brighton
That's
born
so sweet.
Brighton born and bred. Can't get rid of each other.
You must be the only two people who are Brighton born and bred left in Brighton.
It's two of us. We did do a survey.
Everyone else is in Dalston.
So, I'm going to give you a few stories.
Right. I've got to guess which one it relates
to. If it was Joe or Alex.
Right.
Okay. Who, when they were younger, got burnt by a light bulb? They thought it needed cooling down, so they poured a glass of water on the light bulb. It blew up.
This is difficult, actually, because I know you guys, but both, I know that...
Because we're both stupid, is that
why? Could have been either of you, idiots.
Team effort.
Gosh. I'm going to say that was you, Alex.
Okay. We'll give you the answers at the end.
Right, okay.
Whose driving licence photo depicts them with such... long hair that when it was lost, it was returned to his father at his family home with the sentence, "I think your daughter has lost her license."
No. Now I'm trying to remember back how far I've known you and whether there was any length of. I think you had slightly longer hair at one point. I can't imagine Joe with long hair. It was just. Imagining Joe with long hair is like imagining me in a dress. It just doesn't. I'm going to say Alex again. I'm going Alex again.
Next question.
Okay.
Who only had, throughout his entire school career, one detention? and that was for wearing black socks with an all-white PE kit. He was given the choice of detention or a tryout for the rugby team. He chose detention.
That's a good, that's a shrewd
right.
thing.
Yeah.
So you've got to think of who's the most clever.
Clever. with the... Oh,
who's the most good at brain?
I'm going Joe. Not with the intelligence thing. and both of you obviously are clearly natural athletes, so...
that flourishing career.
That, in all fairness, is just a question about laziness.
To be fair, it could have been either of us. Who met a girl in the popular local establishment in Brighton, Grubbs, the burger place?
Love it.
And
only burger place named after its staff.
Yes.
I'll have a cheeseburger and you can have a wash.
Here's a wet wipe.
Again, our Grubbs sponsorship gone now.
Who of us met a girl in Grubbs, asked her on a date, and on said first date, that girl told us that she had 9 criminal convictions for assault and battery.
Wow.
Before the second date, she broke it off. Because she convinced them that she had changed and they believed her. And then before the second date, she broke it off.
Wow. I don't care which one of you that was. I want to know the backstory. I want to know more about that. She had been convicted of assault.
Yeah, she had.
Whoa. Okay. I'm going to go Joe again on that one. I don't know why I don't think
you'd
be...
As soon as there's battery involved, yeah. Right, isn't it?
But I don't know why I think you'd be more attractive to a she-devil. But, wow, 9 convictions.
9 convictions, convicted.
I mean, and you know...
She can't have been that old.
22.
Unless, okay. Wow.
She said it was in the past, though.
Well... That's a busy past, isn't it?
Next question. Who, at around the age of 4 or 5, tripped headfirst down some wooden stairs, and when they got to the bottom of the stairs, instead of crying, they got up and dusted themselves down and said, "Mum, can I have a sandwich?"
Either of you again. Yeah. I'm going to go Alex just for fairness of answers now. I'm going scattergun approach with my answers now.
What was that? Was that the last one?
No, there's one last one.
Okay.
At the age of 4, who on the same day at a farm gave up his dream of being a vet when he was bitten by a goose, spat at by a llama, and kicked in the back by a wallaby?
Kicked in the back by a wallaby.
Yeah.
You don't like the vet sort to me. You look like you... no disrespect, Alex, but I can't imagine you with your hand up a cow's arse. I'm going to go Alex again. I've gone heavily on the Alex. I've gone heavily on the... Yeah, surely I've got one of those right. I've got any
All right,
of those right.
Over to producer Al with... the scores.
Okay, the scores are out of 6 questions.
Yeah.
You got 4 of them right.
Oh, wow, that is pretty...
Winning.
That's pretty good.
Excellent. And that's because 4 of them you said were Alex.
Yeah.
They were all Alex.
They were all Alex.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been punked.
I might be Ashton Kutcher of Brighton.
Which now means that we get to ask Alex... we get to ask Alex about the psychopath he met in Grubbs.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Are you worried about? Are you not worried about putting this in the public domain? Because she might hear it and kick the shit out.
She's in prison now.
But they listen to a lot of podcasts.
We never added each other on Facebook, so I don't think she's ever going to hear. I mean, there's a potential she'll hear it, but I don't think she will.
She's banged up, love.
Yeah.
If you've got 9 convictions at the age of 22, that's.
I naive? To believe her when she said it was in the past.
Yes,
definitely.
So naive.
it actually makes me worried that you had to ask that question.
But because at the time I was like, she's being upfront about it. She's being honest. in the past. Let's go on another date.
Yeah. 22 in general, you're still in your past. You know, yeah. I mean, you haven't got a past at that
yeah.
point.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
when still you get to 30 happening. And talk about your past, it yeah. might be 22. When you're yeah. 22, you're in it.
Yeah. yeah.
I think that you need someone to vet the girls that you're going out with.
Are you offering?
I will do that, yeah.
Perfect.
Any sort of mention of GBH and just let it slide, mate.
Bunny check, boilers.
Checklist. Yeah. So the very last feature we've got for this episode is our regular feature, Producer Al's Crap Feature.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. Okay, so this month's Producer Al's Crap Feature, it's a game, I've not invented it, I was taught this in a pub, and it's called Celebrity Rhyming Actions, okay? And if you want to take this away and use this in a pub, you're more than welcome. I'll explain the rules. I give you a sentence, which it gives a clue as to who the celebrity is mm-hmm. and what the action is that they're performing. The action and the celebrity will rhyme. See? So I'll give you an example, okay? So, for example, I could say, this curmudgeonly creator of Seinfeld gets his hair put into this plaited style. So the answer would be, Larry David's hair is braided. Okay, do you get what I mean?
Wow. Well, I need an Enigma machine to...
I'll give you one more example if you want, because I've got quite a lot of these. I can afford to give you another example.
You need to get out more, Al.
look at that notebook.
This did take me quite a while to come up with. Okay, one more example. So, for example, this former Sex Pistols singer's underwear is made from 100% of this certain fabric.
Johnny Lydon's nylon.
No, Johnny Rotten's pants are cotton.
Oh, right.
Okay. Oh, this is so rhyming. Rhyme, yeah, so they've got to rhyme. The action and what they're doing have got to rhyme, okay?
You can tell how much brain power this is going to use because as soon as you started giving us examples, me and Zoe have been sitting back on this over the whole... We both leant forward just trying to think at the same time. Just
all right. So I've got like 8 here. It's whoever yells out the correct answer first gets a point. But if I've done the first bit and you get who the celebrity is, don't just yell out the celebrity. Wait till you've got the whole thing in the action. Yeah. Otherwise, you're disqualified
for that
round.
Ruined it for everybody.
Oh, right?
God. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. The number of times I've heard that over
at
Christmas.
Okay.
You're spoiling it.
Number one, okay?
Yeah.
So, cool. Number one. This EastEnders acting wide boy collects paper, kindling, and spare wood to get warm.
Fucking hell, mate.
Go on. I'll read that again. This EastEnders acting wide boy collects paper, kindling, and spare wood to get warm.
I don't even watch EastEnders, so I'm
the only one I can... Well. Ross Kemp, no, he's not even in it anymore, is he? Who's
in it now?
So you're talking. Basically, you're talking about the sort of chavvy cast member at the moment.
This is like Brain of Britain.
Yeah. The last time I remember, I don't know.
Oh, I've got it.
Yep.
Danny Dyer fire. Danny Dyer builds a fire.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. Brilliant. Wow. One to Zoe.
I'm a genius.
See?
Yes. Okay.
All right. Well done. Question two. This Brighton-dwelling Australian singer gets rid of his stubble.
Nick Cave having a shave.
Yes!
Oh. Bang. All right, I've got it now.
You get the idea now.
I really think I'm out of my depth.
It's all that morphine, mate. Okay. Right. Well, I'll save that one till later. This arrogant American rapper... creates a home of twigs and leaves.
Kane West builds a nest.
Yes! Yeah. Fantastic. Toot Zoe. Right.
This is happening faster than my brain can work.
Well, you know, there's reasons for that.
Okay. Question four. This star of Ocean's 11 and Gravity... performs this lewd act out of a car window.
George Clooney does a Mooney.
Yay! Alex has caught up.
I've never felt an adrenaline rush like this.
Yeah. I was thinking about Sandra Bullock, and I was like, what the fuck is that one? Right, okay.
All right, we're getting the game now. All right, we're
what loser.
We're right in there now.
Shows a bollock. You know what I mean? She was, yeah, okay, go on.
Okay. Number five. This host of ITV's flagship chat show strongly does not care.
Jonathan Ross doesn't give a toss.
Yes. Oh, Zoe's good at this one.
Oh.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah. All
she's,
right.
She's turned
I'm on fire.
Up winning every quiz.
Yeah. 3-1-1 are the
I
scores.
I come in here all non-competitive.
How many are left, Al?
It's like three left, I think.
Cool.
Okay.
It's like a real hustle.
All right. This one is really... really convoluted. Okay. Good luck.
This is where I come into my element.
Okay. Potential US Democrat presidential candidate just bought some of these notoriously slow breeding lovable bears.
Sanders buys a panda.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders buys some pandas. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. How long-winded was that question?
Bernie Sanders gets another plug on this podcast.
I know, that's too now. Well, yeah, it was, yeah, subtly plugging Mr. Sanders. all right, okay. This singer of 22 and Shake It Off picked me up and took me to my destination.
Taylor Swift gives you a lift.
Yes, yeah. Well done, Joe.
Fucking come on.
Yeah, into second place.
Shake it up.
All right. So we've got, how many have we
that
got left
that just shows
now?
What I secretly listen to.
Yes, on your iPod, isn't it?
All right, so there are two left. Two to go. So Joe can draw level. It's 4 to Zoe, 1 to Alex, 2 to Joe.
I love the way you're going
to... Give up, Alex.
Joe can still draw level. Oh. Alex, it's fun Alex, to keep going.
You fucked it.
Yeah, Alex, you've given it a go, haven't you? Yeah.
Oh, right. You're the Jeb Bush of this competition.
Okay, two left to go. Here we go. Sports stars Andy and Jamie's mother cooks this Indian dish.
Oh, what's her name?
Judy Murray makes a curry.
Yeah. All right.
Oh. Well, you've taken a point that could have been someone else's.
Well, what you're doing, Alex, is you're moving up for a second place here, aren't you? You're going for the silver medal. Yep. Try to push someone down to bronze there, Joe. All right, last one. I'll just find it here. Okay. This Hove-based host of Bent Double Comedy Night... likes people from this paradise American state.
Zoe Lyons loves paradise American state. Zoe Lyons loves Hawaiians.
Yes. Yeah. You try finding things that rhymes with lions.
Nebraska. South Dakota, North Dakota.
I think there are... there are literally two, I think there are two words, three words now that rhyme with lions. There's Mayans. That's going to be tough to find something like that. About the Mayans. Irons and Hawaiians. So that's about as well as we could do that one. But yeah, well done. So Zoe wins again.
Oh, everything.
I'm pumped, man.
I'm really competitive.
Yeah, I'm a passive competitive person, Alex. I've noticed this about myself. I always go, I don't give a shit. And then I really do. And then I really,
and then
really
when
do.
And when you're on the podium receiving the medal.
Yeah. I totally.
This month's Producer Al's Cup feature. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that, Al.
I really enjoyed that, Al. Yeah. Mostly because I won.
Yeah. You can ask Doc.
I'm like, brilliant. Yeah. Bloody. I should have watched that fucking film. I've watched it a million times. But yeah, well done, man. Every time you do one of those, they're good.
It's all right.
They're probably better than the features that we actually have in the
house. Your crap features are kind of stealing the thunder a little bit.
I'm happy about that. What do you think of Alex Petrovich?
I don't know who that is.
So you've got a radio show now on Juice.
Of course, I do. Yeah, on Juice 107.2.
107.2.
Thank you for tuning in, listener. with Jen Brister, and we just have 2 hours of chats and tunes. And
perfect.
We get to play whatever we want. And it's
no,
really...
No, anything.
Yeah, we've got to be... It's got to be reasonably recognisable, but nothing mainstream, which is a lovely it's great fun because I'm going back through my old music loves and finding stuff, and it's and finding new stuff. I'm really enjoying it. And Jen and I have slightly different tastes, so every week when we do the show, we're just like, oh, I like that. Oh, I like that too. It's like two old fishwives just going, oh, that's nice, isn't it?
And then you find, I take it, you probably find new stuff from listening to that. Yeah.
Yeah, and because, you know, you get into a world of Spotify where it goes, if you like this, you'll probably like this. And and then before long, you spent 8 hours going, oh, I did like that.
Music-wise, do you pick a show each? Or so like, is your music taste mixed? Or
no,
is 1 week like your music taste, then 1 week?
No, it's half and half. We mix up, do the playlist. It's one of hers, then one of mine, then one of hers, then one of mine. And it's good fun,
And what time is it?
6 till 8 every Sunday on Juice 107.2 here in Brighton and Hove.
Fantastic. And what about Bent Double as well?
Bent Double every first Sunday of the month at Comedia and doing really, really well. It's getting great numbers in at the moment and really, really nice crowds. And I've got some lovely lineups coming up, none of which I can remember at the moment. I mean, I'm there, that's all you need to know. But they've been such good fun shows. And, you know, it's 10 years.
And when did you start?
10 years doing 10 it. Years. Yeah, 10 years.
And what, are you doing a 10th anniversary show or?
Do you know, if I was organised, I'd have probably done that. If there was a sentimental bone in my body and I could have given a shit, I may well have done that, but it just passed me by.
I was going to, because do you remember the comedy night that I used to run with Sean, IOU? I was thinking of asking him, should we do a 5th anniversary? Because we stopped it, but. And then I looked back and thought, oh, the 5th anniversary was last year, so now we're on 6, and now passed us by.
I'll have to now wait until my 25th anniversary of Bent Double, when Bent Double will just be referring to my, you know, spine as I crawl onto the stage, an alcoholic, bitter, disappointed comic who once could have been still doing my little show on Juice. Oh, right. We played some lovely ballroom tunes.
So what day of the month did you say it was?
So it's Sunday, first Sunday of the month, Bent Double.
Oh, awesome.
Perfect.
What about you, Joe? You got any shows coming up?
I thought I didn't say the venue of the Brighton Fringe ones last time, but it turns out I did because I listened to the podcast. But anyway, it's the 21st of May, 27th of May, 28th at the Nowhere Man, which is in Brighton opposite the Windmill. That's for the Brighton Fringe. And then on the 2nd, 3rd and 4th of June, doing a compilation show at the Brighton Fringe, which has a regrettable name, so I need people to come.
Do you want a reminder of that name again?
It's called Mummy, I Don't Like Those Men. And it's a compilation show, and we thought that was going to be hilarious. And then since I said it at the gig I was emceeing on Friday, I did got the distinct possibility it's not hilarious. And it is, in fact, going to be very awkward. So, yeah, please come. It'll be fun anyway. It'll be fun. Yeah. We'll have a good time. What are you plugging?
I've got nothing to plug this month. Just this. Listen to the podcast you are already listening to.
Alex is plugging his
ear. Subscribing. Yeah, and you know, join us on Facebook and Twitter and those kind of things. This thing on, check it out. Yeah, Instagram. Yeah. We're on all those things if people want to.
Literally
check us
every
out.
Social media we've.
Are you on Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that just because you have to be?
Yeah.
No, I understand Instagram.
Instagram's my favourite of the social medias.
Is it?
People are just nice to each other on there.
Oh,
you don't get trolls.
What a sweetheart.
Yeah, I like that.
Don't you get trolls on Instagram?
No, not like Twitter.
Oh, it's only a matter of time, isn't it? Yeah. Somebody goes, I don't like the filter you used on that. It's making you look old, Sam. Yeah.
Wait till Joe joins.
Oh, I won't be joining that. But thank you for sorting that out for this podcast.
Thank you very much, Zoe, for...
Thank you, Zoe.
It's been a pleasure coming in here and whooping your asses in all of those competitions. It's not about the winning, but it is really, isn't it?
It's a little
really,
bit about
really is.
Tell you what's
really
bad is we made the games.
Yeah. You made them, I destroyed them. Pleasure to oblige.
Zoe, you're welcome back anytime you want a boost.
Lovely, thank you.
So, yeah.
Thank you to my co-host as well, Joe Foster.
Thank you.
Thank you again, producer Al.
Thank you.
I'm Alex Petrovich. Thank you for listening. See you guys soon. Bye.
Stop. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.